I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says that Jesus is the high priest and the apostle of our profession, our confession of what we say. The way you got born again is you believe in your heart and you confessed. You said something with your mouth. And the Lord did something with what you said. And the Holy Spirit worked. Well, that's not supposed to be the end of that. That's the beginning of a life of faith, which is a life of believing and speaking and acting. And so that's why we start off the class the way that we do. And you don't just want to talk that way at the beginning of a faith school class. You want to talk this way all the time.
Yes.
About everything.
Yes, sir.
Not just saying what you see, not just saying what you feel. God tells us to imitate Him. Well, He doesn't just talk to be talking. You know, there's, a while back there was this phrase that you'd hear people sometimes say, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Don't mean much. I'm just making noise, you know. God is never just saying. Huh? And God doesn't just speak to communicate. And He doesn't just speak to express Himself or tell us how He feels. His words create.
Yes.
His words change things. And He tells us to follow His example. So said out loud, Lord,
place a watch
at the door of my mouth. And alert me, lest I say a wrong thing that the enemy could work with, and quicken me to say the words you can work with. Your words in my mouth and in my heart and manifested in power
in
my life.
So be it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, we've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're looking one after another at 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. If you're walking by faith, you're not walking by sight. You're not walking by what you see. And too many are. They're thinking, well, they struggled and didn't have it, so we'll probably struggle and won't have it. Well, every time, this time of year, there's always a slump, and, you know, you just have to get ready for it. And, well, you know, because of what's happening in the government, what's happening in the world, what's happening at our place of business, you know, you can't really expect to do very well right now. Well, see, those are some words you shouldn't be saying.
Amen.
Right? Those are some words that the Lord's, He's not going to work with something that disagrees with what He has already said. But the enemy will be happy to jump on if you said, we can't make it, we're running out, and one evil spirit will look at the other and go, you heard what they said. Let's cause them some trouble. And it really, this is how it works. And of course, the ministering spirits that we talked about a while back in these classes, they are on the ready to perform God's word in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so you want his words in your mouth and in full agreement with what the Spirit of God's doing, what the angels are doing, and what has already been provided in redemption. Say it out loud while we're talking about it. Say, I call every need met.
I call every need met.
I call every bill paid.
I call every bill paid.
I call every debt paid off.
I call every debt paid off.
We will
have everything
we need
and more
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. And it doesn't take any more breath to say that than it did to wring your hands and say, I don't know what we're going to do. Right? And this will help you. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, if you would. We're down to our 28th reason in our study of 30 reasons. And if you haven't been with us, those previous 27 reasons are certainly worth you hearing about. Go online to faithschool.org, and it's all there and a lot of other lessons before that. And there's no obligation, there's no cost, and feed on it and let it build you up that it is God's will for you to have abundance. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and the, 31st verse, Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Like we had mentioned in the previous class this week, Jesus said, don't say this. Beware of talking need and talking lack and just unbelieving questioning. It's no sign of intelligence that you ask a bunch of questions. Especially when the Lord's already given us the answer. Right? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The enemy will bring these thoughts and feelings to your mind and your being and to push you because he wants you to say it. Because in this realm, words carry weight. For good or for bad. The Bible said death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, depending on which one you love and say. And so part of the attack of the enemy are wrong spirits will come. They're not in you, but they're outside in this world, and they come to push thoughts against your mind and push feelings against your soul. And that's why there are these annoying, repetitious things.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. See, did you hear everybody respond? They're like, yeah. We have all experienced this. And then there's a push spiritually. What are you going to do? 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 Now, you haven't messed up until you open your mouth.
That's right.
Huh? And you say, what are we going to do? And you're repeating something a wrong spirit brought to you. And it's a short distance from what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Till you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And if you're not paying attention, you know, this is whether it's your healing, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your finances, your ministry, your business, it all works the same.
Yes.
And you're not to just sit there and passively take that. And you're certainly not to agree with the enemy of your soul and open your mouth and use your words that have either creative or destructive power against your own self. See, the enemy is convincing people to shoot theirself.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
With their own pistol in their own foot.
Yeah.
Not smart.
Yeah.
And what did the Lord say? Don't say this. He said, take no thought saying. That means you accepted the thought that came to you. You took it. The proof you took it is you opened your mouth and repeated it and agreed with it. When you could have said, No. No. Leave me alone. Get out of here. We are going to make it. In fact, we're going over big for God. We will have it. We will know. And that is resisting. And what the Bible say, resist the devil and what will happen? He'll have to go. He has to go. He got no choice. So take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Be on the watch for these kinds of questions. They are not okay. They are not just innocent inquiries. The Lord doesn't like it. He doesn't want to hear it coming out of your mouth, especially when he's met your needs thousands of times. Is that right? Yes. Through previous years, and the first thing that comes up, you start going, we ain't going to make it. That's exactly what the people that he delivered out of Egypt did and why they wandered around in the desert for 40 years. Because every time, no matter how many times he had delivered them, no matter how many miracles he had done, every time something came up, they're like, oh, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. And eventually what they said was confirmed to them. That's exactly what happened to them. It wasn't God's will, but it was in their mouth. How much better if we say, we're going to make it.
Yes.
Huh? We're going to make it. I'm making it all the way. We will do the will of God.
Yes.
We will run our race.
Yes.
We will complete our course.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We will believe God. We will hear from God. We will obey God. Get these words in your mouth.
Yes.
And so anytime you're tempted to say, where are we going to get it? Remember, Jesus said, don't say that.
Right.
What do you say? We're going to get it. Right?
Yeah.
We will have it.
Yes.
It's on the way. So he said, don't talk like that. Don't do that. After all these things, do the Gentiles seek? That's acting like an unsaved person. That's acting like an ungodly person. It's acting like a person with no covenant, with no assurances. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And so you don't have to pray vain repetitions telling him 300 times a day, God, we got to have it. God, I need it. God, we got to have it. He knew before you asked the first time.
Yes.
Is that right? This is foolish. This is a waste of your energies and it's unbelief. Don't just keep. Now, it's all right to ask for something, but it's not all right to ask for it 1,000 times. Because that means you didn't believe he heard you the previous times. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his rightness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is number 28 in our study of reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will. We see in Scripture that if you seek God, you will prosper. If you seek God, you will have all your needs met. God said he would see to it. That you're not seeking money. You're not seeking stuff. You're not just seeking. For one thing, you got to keep reminding yourself, everything happening here right now, temporary. Very, very temporary. I mean, just in a flash, we're all going to be out of here. So all of this is temporary. Don't get hung up on this and think you're building, everything forever down here. You just need everything you need to do your mission and complete it well and all your needs met. And we're not just stockpiling everything for an indefinite future down here. It's brief. But I can believe God. I can expect to have an abundance of everything we need. He will add it to me when I seek him. Everybody say, seek him.
And all these things
will be added to you.
Yes.
Go to 2 Chronicles, if you would, the 14th chapter today. And you'll see this principle all through the Word of God. And that's the way truth is. It's not just in half a verse in one place. God's always been the way he is, and he never changes, and he'll always be the same. when he says something, you don't have to wonder if it'll work for you. When he says something, you don't have to wonder if it'll work in this century. God never changes. And he's no respecter of persons. If one person will do what the other person did, they'll get the same result. He doesn't play favorites where these things are concerned. He's very fair, very faithful and just. In 2 Corinthians 14, through these next couple of chapters here, we're going to look at the kings, some of the kings that led Israel and Judah. And you'll see that they fall into good kings and bad kings. Yeah. And you begin to see something that made the good king a good king, or the bad one the bad one. In the 14th chapter, it's talking about Asa, verse 2, chapter 14. He did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Verse 4, he commanded Judah to do what?
Seek the Lord
God of their fathers and do the law and the commandment. You can't overemphasize the importance of seeking God. You know, King David is held up. In fact, the Lord referred to him as a man after his own heart. He said, that will do all my will. Well, how are you going to do his will? You got to first find out, right? What his will is. How are you going to do that? How are you going to find out what his will is? Seek him. You seek him, and that's what Jesus said. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, and you'll find. It takes faith to ask properly and faith to seek with a full assurance that I can and will find. And we read earlier, you know, in Jeremiah in this study about if you seek me with all your heart, the Lord said, you will find me. Yes. He said, you will find me. We saw you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And when you come to him and believe in him and seek him sincerely, he is a rewarder. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. A rewarder. And that word means the one who pays. Yes. The one who pays wages. Yes. Who pays pay. Yes. It pays. Yes. To serve God. Yes. It pays to seek God. Because yes. You don't know how to serve God until you find out what you're supposed to do. And you're going to find that out in seeking him. So this good king, Asa, that's what he told them to do. He said, we got to seek God. And verse 7, among other things that he did, he said to Judah, let us build cities and make walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have
sought
the Lord our God. We have sought him. And he has given us rest on every side. And so they built and prospered. Hallelujah. See, if you go back to the previous verse, there were four or whatever it was, he told them, we got to seek God. We got to seek God. What'd they find out? We need to build everything back up. And so they did, and God gave them the ability to do it, and they prospered. They sought, said out loud, they sought God. And they prospered. They sought God. He gave them rest. On every side. And they prospered. Now see, part of that rest is the devil's not stealing your stuff. Huh? You're not having these attacks and these losses and this destruction. Well, if you're not losing what you build up every so many months or years, you accrue. It adds up. It increases and you prosper. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Go to the 31st chapter here in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 33. You see some of the same ideas in these. Everybody said out loud, seek God.
Seek God.
And prosper.
And prosper.
Seek God.
Seek God.
And all these things.
All these things.
Shall be
added to you.
So wouldn't it be so confusing if you seek God and then he says, but I want you broke because I'm teaching you something. You'd say, what? Well, that's not what you said here, right? That's not what he said in Matthew and Luke and 2 Chronicles and Psalms. And can you see why we're given 30 reasons? Because it's all over the Word of God. And the enemy, he has been pervasive with his lies. And he has convinced a lot of people. But the Word of God can grow mightily and prevail in your life over all these wrong ideas and thoughts. In 2 Chronicles 31, and let's see down about verse 20 or so. This is talking about another good king, Hezekiah. And this is 2 Chronicles 31, 20. Thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. What did Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first his kingdom and what? All his rightness, right? And see, that's what Hezekiah was involved in. He was working what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. Well, he had to find out what that was before he could pursue it. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to do what? To seek his God. He did it and ran out of money before they could finish the... No. He sought his God and he did it with all his heart. And what happened? He found. Can you see that? He sought God. He found God. He found his direction. He found his answers and all the provision that it took to get the job done. Can you see it? He prospered. Everybody say he sought God.
He sought God.
He did it with all his heart.
And he prospered.
Would that still work today?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
God hadn't changed.
Right.
Is it still right to seek God today?
Yes.
Well, then it's still his will for you to prosper. Let's look in another one. In 2 Chronicles, just back up a few pages to the 26th chapter. And you know, the Lord doesn't repeat things for no reason. One of the reasons that he repeats things is because the enemy is telling lies all the time. Right? And he's told you 10,000 times a lie. And so God needs to sometimes tell you again. Now, I said... Don't listen to that. This is what I said. In the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, this is Uzziah, who was made king at a young age, at 16 years old. Verse 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. That's a long time, especially in those days. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he what?
Sought God.
He what?
Sought God.
He sought God, like Asa did, like Hezekiah did, like Jesus told us to do. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, what happened? God made him to prosper. How long did he prosper? As long, right? As he sought the Lord. Do you want to quit seeking the Lord? No, you don't. You don't want to quit seeking the Lord, because the seeking God is, what are you going to find when you seek God? You're going to find his word, his will, his ways, his plan. Well, if you're smart, you won't just find them, you'll follow them. Is that right? And if you are following his words, his will, his plan, that's the path of the just that shines brighter and brighter. Is that right? It is also the path that has pre-provision. It's the path that Jehovah Jireh has seen ahead and provides the supply, and He has already got your provision stationed at every stage of His plan. Hallelujah. Now, if you're doing well and you just to keep encountering the provision and you are prospering in what you're doing, but then you get the big head and you decide, well, I don't need to seek God anymore. I'm pretty smart now. I got the answers. Now, as long as he sought the Lord, what's going to happen then? Then things are going to change. And we don't want that to change. We want to keep going. In Jeremiah 10, don't turn there, but they'll put it on the screen for us. Jeremiah 10, 21. This applies to every household, every family, every ministry, every business. Jeremiah 10, 21 says, he said the Lord was he was displeased with his pastors on this particular thing. He said the pastors have become brutish, and they have not sought the Lord. Therefore what? They will not prosper. And all their flocks will be scattered. It don't make any difference if you're a preacher, right? Or a pastor, or a priest, or whoever you are, the principle works. You seek God, you follow God, you're going to do well. You're going to have everything you need, you're going to prosper. You don't seek God, you're not going to prosper. Don't you like that phrase? As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. Come on, say it out loud. As long as he sought the Lord,
he prospered.
So what are you going to do?
Seek the Lord.
What am I going to do?
Seek the Lord.
What are we going to do every morning when your eyes open and you're aware that you're awake? What should be the first thing? Do what David did all his life. Inquire. Is that right? Inquire, that means ask. Okay, Lord, thank you for today. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. What would you have me to do? I am yours. I am in your hand. What do you say? And keep seeking him all through the day, and you will keep finding. Keep asking, and you'll be receiving. Keep seeking, you'll be finding. Keep knocking, it'll be opened. And the next thing, even people that don't like you will look at you and go, will you look at how they're prospering? Would you look at how they're prospering? And if they bother to ask you, you go, hey, seek the Lord, and you'll prosper. Well, that's all we have time for today. Come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to shout about here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.